Right now it is time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. We talk food, food, food. The topic of this morning sounds interesting to me because I loved them as a kid and I love them as an adult. Lentils. Good morning,
Lentils.
Arthur.
Lentils. Yes, I know this is, seems very strange, but in the period that I was on a nearly carb-free diet, I did not eat lentils. So one of the chief things that I craved when I decided, all right, enough of this, I'm going to eat like a normal person, were lentils. And I made immediately a recipe that is in Naples at table. I didn't even look at the recipe to see what I was doing back then. I have to keep reminding myself. I wrote that book over 20 years ago, and my cooking has changed somewhat. 25 years ago, and 6 years ago. Anyway, this is the super easy, like, you know, you don't know what you're going to eat for dinner kind of dish, because all it is lentils cooked in water with some seasonings, and I'll get to that in a minute. But it ends up, thinking about lentils, I realized that I have only, and I think all my cookbooks, or almost all, my, no, there's no lentil recipe that I know of in the Jewish cookbook, or maybe not in the New York cookbook. I have to go look. But in all the other books have some kind of lentil dish, either lentils with pasta in an Italian book. One of my favorites is lentils with egg noodles and a ton of garlic and mint, which is a Lebanese dish. In fact, I learned it from the wife of a Lebanese restaurateur, and I she said, this is a dish that we can't serve in the restaurant because it's too homey, but also you really should finish it off at the last minute, and when you do, the whole kitchen is perfumed with garlic and mint, and that's part of the appeal of the dish. Anyway, I let me do a little lentils 101. Because not all lentils are the same. The ones that we mostly use in the U.S. are grown in Washington State. I think Michigan, too, is a big lentil producer. And they're a medium-sized or even large-sized brown lentil. And I like them. I like the flavor quite a lot. And if I'm making a soup where I don't care if the, or if I even want the lentils to fall apart and make a thicker soup, I like those lentils. But for other things, I buy a small lentil, originally a Spanish lentil, but now also grown in Washington State and some other places. It's called Pardina. It still has the Spanish name, Pardina. And I can buy those in most supermarkets. Goya packages them. In fact, it's the only company I know that packages them under the name of Pardina. Of course, Goya is a Spanish-language company. I don't want to say it's Hispanic. I think they're Cuban, actually. In fact, I know that. I know the family is originally Cuban. Anyway, so the Pardina lentil is, at least mine are, mostly dark brown. I have some others that are not quite so brown. They're more green-brown. They vary. And small lentils, just as a generalization, are the kind that usually keep their shape once they're cooked. They don't fall apart. The fall apart ones are the brown ones, as I explained. And also, and I love these falling apart, is the orange lentils or red lentils, which are a hulled lentil. In other words, there is a brown coating on them originally, but it's been taken off. And because it's basically just the interior of the of a lentil, they turn into mush. That's a negative word. I don't want to say mush. A puree. They puree themselves.
Sounds much more appetizing.
When you cook them and stir them. And in fact, I always keep a few around. Not that I make them as a dish so often. Oh, they're very, very good when you're making an Indian-type dal, which is, you know, a very common Indian dish of some kind of bean or legume, like a lentil. Anyway, I keep them around as a thickener, because if you want to make a stew, and instead of using flour, which you might do at the beginning or at the end, wherever you put the flour in when you're making a stew. Instead, when you add your liquid to the stew, add a couple tablespoons of red lentils. And they will, without really changing the flavor of the stew that much, hardly at all, they will thicken the stew in a very nice way. By the time the stew is done, they will have totally disintegrated, and they actually add a nice little color to your brown, otherwise brown gravy or sauce. So then there are a million different lentils out there. Not a million different, but there's several, definitely many different kinds. Another one that's always too expensive for me to spend the money on, but you know, one of these days I'll treat myself to a bag of lentilles. This is French, so my French is not so good. Dupuy, P-U-Y, lentilles Dupuy, which are the ones always recommended for these lentil salads that the French love. I like too. What do I put in my lentil salad? I cook up lentils that don't disintegrate, like my pardina, or if you want to spring for lentil Dupuy. Oh, another fancy lentil is, I think it's Castelluccio, which is in Umbria. Umbria is famous for lentils, and they are very good lentils, but they're also very expensive. I think last time I looked, it was like $8 a pound, which is sort of for poor man food. It's awfully expensive. You know, lentils are traditionally poor man food because they go back literally thousands of years to the cultivation of lentils. Probably started in like 3,000, somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 BC. They are mentioned in the Bible. They are supposedly the mess of pottage, or however we want to translate this, that Esau sold his birthright for. Hungry Esau needed to his lentils, basically. And that dish, by the way, the dish that supposedly was the dish that Esau craved, is what we call, what they call in Arabic, various, I can't pronounce Arabic either, French nor Arabic, but it's either mujadara or mujadara. I'm not sure where the accent goes, and actually I think it varies depending on what Arabic dialect you're speaking. In any case, that is rice and lentils. I cook my lentil, since I have like long cooking lentils that don't fall apart, I cook them for about 10 or 15 minutes just in boiling water, and then I add rice. By the way, the little lentils take a good 25 minutes, could be even a half an hour, to get the way you want them to be, which is tender. You don't want any al dente lentils. So you cook them for at least 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes even, and then you add your rice. And if you started out, I would say, with enough water, you're going to end up with just cooked rice with no water left in the pot. In other words, a dry mix of lentils and rice. So I would say for 1 cup of lentils, which is quite a lot of lentils actually, I would put in 3 cups of water, and then after 10 or 15 minutes, add regular long grain rice, and I usually, in this case, put the rice in a strainer and rinse it under the cold water for a minute, and then put it in the pot. That just sort of starts the cooking, so to speak. And then you put it in the pot, cover the pot, and simmer until the rice is done. Now, my seasonings here would just be salt, and this is when I add the rice, salt, pepper, cumin, a little, you know, as much as maybe a teaspoon of cumin, but no more than that. If you like things a little spicy, you can put in a pinch of hot red pepper flakes, and this will help season the rice. But also, as a friend of mine says, mujadara begins and ends with onions. So I actually, because I knew I was going to do this today, I just looked. I saved 5 onions for this. And I'm only going to make, as I said, like a cup of lentils and a cup of rice. It's going to end up being quite a mess of mujadara, though. I'm going to saute all those onions, sliced in olive oil until they get nice and caramelized, which is to say, fry them until dark, and then put about half of them in with your rice and lentils as they cook, and then save the rest of it. You could even crisp them up even a little bit more. I like some of mine actually burned, and that goes on top. So it's really a very, and also you eat this. I would, you know, this to me is a meal with a chopped salad of cucumber and scallions and tomato. You don't even need to dress it, but really just the chopped vegetables. And maybe a dollop of yogurt. I like yogurt with this. So, or Greek yogurt, you know, that's very rich. Mujadara. Iso sold. Do you like lentils?
I love lentils because my grandmother used to make she used to make lentils. And first she'd take a leftover, like, ham bone and just boil, like, the hell out of it in water.
Very Jewish, a ham bone.
Then she'd put the lentils in with leftover ham.
Oh.
All right. And then a little bit of bacon.
Oh, a lot of meat.
Oh, but how good was that?
I bet it was. All right, maybe next time out I'm going to make lentil soup with the. I love lentil soup with the ham bone. But, you know, you can buy those smoked ham hocks in
yep.
the supermarket. That's perfect for this. So anyway, that mujadara is definitely on the menu for today. Even though yesterday we had lentils with pasta, I made a different one than I usually make. The one that's in Naples at Table, which is my standard everyday version, is you just boil the lentils, and when they're almost but not really, let's say they're 10 minutes away from being done, so you're going to be boiling them for about 20 minutes. Here's my proportion. It's 2/3 cup of lentils to 5 cups of water. You can, if you want to end up soupy, you'll end up adding a little bit more water later. And boil the lentils, and then add a couple of cloves of garlic, crushed or finely chopped, just throw it in the pot. A good couple tablespoons, I would say, of tomato paste. Or if you have, you know, an open can of tomatoes, you can throw a couple of plum tomatoes from the can in, just squish them into the pot. Some parsley, you know, fresh parsley is always a good thing. I use hot pepper, I have little hot peppers, so I would put one little hot, and they're pretty strong, one little hot pepper in there. And, by the way, if you don't have fresh parsley, you could use oregano in this. It's perfectly, in the middle of the winter when you don't have a fresh herb, dried oregano to the rescue. And I would put a big pinch of that in, or even, you know, like a half teaspoon of dried oregano. And that's it. Let it cook a couple, you know, 10 more minutes until the lentils are tender. And then either add pasta to the pot or cook it separate, depending on the pasta. Now, did I mention earlier that I managed to buy a bag of capellini spezzati, which means broken capellini, broken angel hair. And that is, in fact, the perfect pasta for this if you want to do a quickie, because you throw in your, I would say for that amount of lentils that I just told you, you only need like 3 ounces, maybe 4 ounces at most, of capellini spezzati or thin spaghetti broken up. You can break it up yourself. Regular spaghetti, but nothing thicker than regular spaghetti. If you want to do it, and then you throw that in the pot, keep an eye on it and keep stirring it, because as it boils, you want the lentils to be boiling when you put in the pasta. But as it cooks, it could stick to the bottom of the pan unless you're stirring and being careful. So don't do it at too high a heat. And that's it, by the way. And you can eat that with a drizzle more of olive oil, but I wouldn't put cheese on it. I would put more. I'll tell you what I do put on it if I have in the house. Sometimes I make hot pepper oil, and I drizzle some hot pepper oil on that's a very good medium for hot pepper oil, lentils and pasta. So that's the standard one. But yesterday, because I had a piece of pancetta that I think wasn't on the verge, but it was time to use it up, so I decided, well, I better do a base here with this pancetta. I also happened to have literally 1 carrot and 2 ribs of celery in the crisper. So I chopped those up. I didn't want to put onion in. I thought It was a big carrot. I thought that was going to sweeten it plenty. But I did a couple of glugs of olive oil in my pot, added the diced pancetta, was about, I would say, 4 ounces of pancetta, which, by the way, is exactly what comes in those little packages of diced pancetta, 4 ounces. So if you're buying already diced pancetta, use the whole package. Put that in with your oil and cook it for a while until some of the fat gets rendered from the pancetta. Don't let it brown. Then add your vegetables. I had diced carrot, celery, and a couple of cloves of garlic that I chopped up fairly fine. And I put first the carrot and celery in the pot and let that, saute for a couple minutes. And then I added the garlic. And then I added, I used for a cup and a half of lentils, I used 8 cups of water. And simmered that all together until the lentils were almost done. And then, because a kind neighbor had given me a big bowl of quite large, I got to say, cherry tomatoes, I diced up the cherry tomatoes and put them in. Parsley, hot pepper, like I always do, gives it some zing, and let that simmer a little longer. And the same thing. It turned out to be a rather thick soup, so I ladled out, when it was dinner time, I ladled out some and added a cup of water to it so that I could put 4 ounces of capellini spezzati, broken angel hair, into the pot. And it really was, I got to say, Bob wanted it for dinner again, but I had no more capelletti. Capellini. Could be capelletti, would be something else. So that's not my whole lentil story, I got to tell you. But some other things happened this week besides the craving for lentils. One of them is I don't know where I got this from, but maybe somebody on TikTok was talking about how if you cook by color and eat by color, you're getting all the nutrients you need. And I heard this 50 years ago from a now sadly deceased friend who was an artist. And the first time I went supermarket shopping with him, he by the way, his name is Mo Leibowitz. And Mo, as an artist, would go to the supermarket and buy the makings for his big meal of the day, which in his case was lunch, and by color. He had to have red, he had to have green, meat is mostly brown, yellow. I mean, really, he was very color conscious on the plate. And he knew this. I'm not sure how he knew this, but apparently this is a thing, because it's not the first time I've heard it in very recent weeks. I've heard more than one person talk about this, how if you eat by color, you're getting all your nutrients. So that said, let's move on to another thing I learned on TikTok. I got to tell you, have you been on TikTok, Marshall?
I go on TikTok occasionally, yeah.
Do you post on TikTok?
No, I'm a lurker.
I've been asked to do cooking stuff, but you know what? There's so much cooking stuff on TikTok. I don't really care. I don't want to do that. I rather learn from other people. And what's beautiful about TikTok is that you can learn from real people who are on TikTok. Like some grandma in Modena is showing you how to make something Modenese. I trust her. In fact, the other day, I saw a woman make something that now I have to eat it, because I've had it. In the south of Italy, I know this sounds strange, but olive oil was not the main cooking fat of southern Italy until late in the 20th century. Before that, it was pork fat. And so people did dress pasta with melted, rendered pork fat. And, of course, some flavorings besides just the fat. But let me say, lard, as we know it, rendered pork fat, if it's good lard, can be really flavorful and dresses pasta beautifully. The first time I encountered this in Italy is an Easter dish that's made in the Cilento, which is the mountainous part of the province of Salerno, abutting Calabria. Anyway, it was a whole baby lamb, which of course is very traditional for Easter. But in this case, it was gutted and filled with pasta, with rigatoni, dressed with lard and the various innards from the baby. I have to say, I enjoyed this immensely. I know it's grossing out a lot of people. The thing, the little animal, was roasted in a copper oval roasting pan, specially made for this. And this dish was presented to your baron, your feudal lord, basically, as an Easter offering. So, however, I've eaten pasta with lard prepared by various friends who either are from Cilento or live in Salerno, which is the main city near Cilento, or even a Neapolitan. I had this in Naples once. So it's all very, very old-fashioned. But, you know, people are always wanting to show me something very old-fashioned because they know I enjoy that and appreciate it. So in the case of the lardata, which is the pasta with lard, truthfully, just salt and pepper is all I really need. But no lentils associated with that, by the way. Not that I know of. So I better get my onions up. Onions take a long time if you want them well browned.
Now, I've got to ask you a question about onions.
Please do.
Okay. I like onions, okay? The purple onions I use sparingly. I use scallions. I use these little things, what are they called? That look like
shallots?
Yeah. But my favorite is a yellow sweet onion.
Yeah.
That's my go-to onion. How do they make something like that? Because they all have different tastes.
Well, they are. I mean, there are different varieties of onion, let's for a start, and they're grown in different soils and different places. All these things impact the flavor of whatever you're growing. So just like I'm now, you know, of the mind that New Jersey is not a place to grow peaches, since I've never really had a good Jersey peach. Georgia is famously good for growing peaches, and I'm sure it's the same with everything. So onions, in fact, there's, speaking of Salerno and Cilento, there's an onion grown, now I'm going to remember the name of it, a yellow onion, although they call the skin copper, which I love, in that, I want to say Monrone, but something off about that word. Anyway, these onions are considered very highly prized, and they look just like our yellow onions. However, grown in the soil that they're growing in, which is a volcanic soil, they taste different. That's, you know, there's a restaurant in the town where they grow these onions. I can't believe I can't remember the name. As soon as I get off the air, I'm sure it'll come to me. But this major farm that farms these onions has a restaurant attached to it, a very, very good restaurant. But I laugh because, to myself right now, because they were serving American style onion batter dipped fried onion rings. It's one of they hand out, you know, when you sit down at the table, instead of bringing bread, they bring you, it's an onion farm, they bring you onion rings. And so I said to the waiter, "What do you call these in Italian?" He said, "Onion rings." Of course, the big dish at this, by the way, speaking of onions now, we are Speaking of onions, there's like in Italy, you know, it depends where you grow this onion, you know, its reputation. For instance, in Tropea, which is in Calabria, they grow an elongated-looking red onion, which is sold all over Italy these days. I see them up north, even in the market. Tropea onions, red onions, they're particularly sweet. And there's a dish called Genovese, which is Neapolitan, basically, but made all over the South, actually, in some version or other. And it's an onion sauce for pasta, and you usually cook it with meat to flavor it, and then you can eat the meat separately. And in Naples, usually, you add, if you're going to add wine, you add white wine. But I ate this in a restaurant in Tropea, which was funny, because they had red onions. They use red wine to emphasize the redness of the onions. Truthfully, I don't like to cook everything with red onions. They turn gray.
And they're too strong for me, I'll be honest with
you. Well, it depends on the red onion, you see. Supposedly, red onions are sweeter than yellow or white onions. But that's not necessarily so.
Yeah.
And I've yet to get to, like, where do you, you know, I don't even look to see where onions are coming from necessarily, but used to be most of our onions from this time until the spring would be from Texas. I'm going to have to look and see where they're coming from now.
Well,
it's a lentil and onion day for me. I like cooking onions, and I look forward to my mujadara.
You know, I have some lentils at the house, I have some onions, I have some bacon, and I have some real fresh frankfurters that are with the queso.
Well, I wouldn't put either of those in a Middle Eastern dish.
No, but I think I'm going to throw them all together. And
bacon, though, bacon and lentils are a great partner.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you want to start a soup, and to start with bacon, like your grandma did, she put ham and pork product in the soup. And also, listen, everything comes down. I'm just decided now. Everything comes down to beans and greens. That's the longest lived people, the healthiest people on earth, have a diet heavy in beans, or I should say legumes like lentils, and greens. And I actually have a recipe. I'm not going to do this now because we don't have time, but I made this soup once while we were staying in Italy, and I invited Cecilia's grandsons to eat the soup with us. And Luca, who's a grown man now, was maybe 10 years old at the time, and he went around saying, "Arthur makes the most exquisite," is the word he used, "squisita," lenticchia, soup with lentils. And what was the secret? Broccoli rabe and sausage with lentils, all in the same pot.
Now, see, I don't like broccoli rabe, but I bet you I would like it in that.
A different green.
No, but
spinach, even.
No, but I think I've always tried to eat broccoli rabe, but I think in that mixture would give me what I need to eat.
Well, let me say, I make broccoli rabe that even people who say they don't like broccoli rabe, like Mr. Robert Harned, will eat it. And the secret is to parboil it. Put it into a huge pot of boiling water. And as soon as it comes back to the boil, which we hope is real quick, that's why I want a huge pot of water, count 5 minutes, drain the by the way, stems are tough. So either peel the stems, which I do not mind doing, or cut them off and maybe cook them separately. And then that's it, 5 minutes. And then you can do anything you want with them. I basically just saute it in after it's 5 minutes of parboiling. I cook it with garlic and hot pepper and olive oil. But if you're putting it into the soup, you cook it another 10 minutes. It should be tender. Unfortunately, Americans think broccoli rabe should be al dente or something, hard. I would just call it hard and undercooked. So I did take some pleasure in watching some famous person on TV recently cook broccoli into a cream, which is how I love it. You know, it wasn't broccoli rabe, but you do the same thing with broccoli rabe. It really should be cooked until it falls apart, and then you put it on pasta, and it's really good.
All right. Okay, Arthur.
All right, no lentils next week, I promise.
Okay.
I'm getting it out of my system this week.
All right, I'll speak to you next week.
Take care.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web. You can also find Arthur where? Well, you can also find Arthur, by the way, at our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.